Hey, Planet Shakers, thanks for joining us today. I'm so excited to be preaching this Sunday at church. I'm talking about being strong and doing great exploits. I believe in 2018, God wants us to be stronger and to do greater things. Check this out.
But are you ready for the word today? Come on, why don't we pray? God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power. God, we thank you for your word. Your word says about itself that it is sharp enough to divide between soul and spirit, between bone and marrow. It is sharp enough to divide in our life what is of you, what is not of you, what is your will and what is not your will. God, I pray today as your word goes out, pray that it would go out into our hearts. Lord, not just our heads, but let it go into our hearts as well. Let us walk out of these doors changed today. God, we're giving you permission. We're opening our hearts to you. That as your word is delivered, God, that you would come and do heart surgery on us. That you would accomplish exactly that for which you send your word this morning. And somebody with faith, shout a big amen. Amen, amen, amen. I want to preach to you today from a verse in the book of Daniel. It's going to be up on the screen for you. It's in the book of Daniel, chapter number 11, verse number 32. Daniel 11, 32. It says this, I'm just going to read the second half of the verse. It says, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Come on, somebody. The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. What a great verse. What a great promise. I don't know about you, but I can't think of anyone who wouldn't want to be strong and carry out great exploits in their life. I'm not necessarily talking about bodybuilder strength, although if that's your thing, you go for it. This word strong, it means this. It means to strengthen, means to prevail, means to be strong, become strong, be courageous, be firm, grow firm, be secure, be resolute. I want this kind of strong in my life. But then also to carry out great exploits. Who doesn't want great things for their life? Who doesn't want great exploits in their life? That's really what resolutions, New Year's resolutions, are based around. God, I'm taking this moment in time to resolve myself to do greater in these areas than I did last year. I want to be greater than I was last year. I want to do greater things than I did last year. I'm resolved to doing greater things. And see, resolutions in this time of year are a powerful thing. The truth is, of course, with God, every day is a new day. So any day we can wake up and God can cut off the past and accelerate us into our future. I understand that as a principle, but I also understand that there is power in seasons. There is power in seasons. And see, we're in a summer season right now. It may not feel like it, but I promise you we are. School is out. The weather is generally better, generally better. Schedules are generally a lot lighter this time of year. We're in a summer season here in Melbourne, and the season presents an opportunity that we might not have at other seasons throughout the year. In fact, the Bible talks about the power of seasons. It says this, God uses in the book of Proverbs, God uses four animals to describe wisdom to us. In fact, the Bible calls it exceeding wisdom, unusual wisdom. God talks about the ant, the badger, the locust, and the lizard. You can look it up when you get home. I'm just gonna focus on the ant this morning. There's a lesson that an ant wants to teach us. It says this in Proverbs 30, verse 24 and 25. It says, there are four things on earth that are, that can't breathe. That happens sometimes. My throat just forgets what it's there to do. Sounds like I was about to cry about these four animals. They're very emotional. God has emotional wisdom to teach us this morning. I just get emotional about the ants, thinking about how many I've killed in my life. But besides being pests, so weird. Your body just does strange things sometimes. There are four things on earth that are small but unusually wise. And just the one we'll talk about this morning is those ants. They are not strong, but they store up food all summer. You may think about that and say, well, yeah, cool. What's so wise about that? I mean, what's the exceeding wisdom that God wants to teach us out of that? See, the truth is ants use their summertime because they know the season they're in right now will not last forever. Sooner or later, the season is going to change, the cold will come, and the opportunity to gather their food up will be gone. Winter will hit, and the opportunity to gather their food will be over. Sure, there might be a good winter's day here and there as an occasion. Someone might spill food right in front of their home as a rarity, but they know as far as seasons go, there is no guarantee once this season is over that there will be another opportunity to gather food for the year. What am I trying to say this morning? I'm saying we're in a season. We have an opportunity. And sure, you can have opportunities later in the year, but there's power in a season, that there is a season we are in right now to cut off what we might be carrying in from last year, to step into everything God has for us this year, doing it now in this season. Sure, we might have a good day later in the year. We might have a schedule open up that will give us the chance later in the year. But there's no time like we have right now. It's exceedingly wise. And using this time, this season, this time that we have together today, I want to preach out of this verse, Daniel 11:32. The people who know their God will be strong and carry out great exploits. I want to be strong. I want to do great things in their life. Is anybody with me? 2018. Anyone want to be stronger in 2018? Anyone want to carry out great exploits in 2018? I don't know about you, but I want 2018 to be greater than 2017 was. Stronger and greater. Stronger and greater. But notice this. It's not that those who are strong will do great things. It's not that those who do great things will be strong. It's not even that those who are strong and do great things will know God. No. Knowing God undergirds this all. Knowing God precedes this all. It keeps the right thing the right thing. Those who know God will be strong and do great exploits. I want to preach to you today about this thought. Do you know Him? Come on, somebody say that. Say, do you know Him? Look at your neighbor, look them in the eyes and say, do you know Him? They weren't very responsive. They were the wrong neighbor. Choose the other one. Say, do you know Him? That's what I want to preach about today. Do you know Him? This word know can teach us so much. It's this Hebrew word, yada. You're never going to remember that. It's just in my notes. I don't know why I'm saying it, but it is yada. Look at your neighbor, say, yada. Sounds like you're calling Him something. Yada. Do you know Him? Firstly, knowing God, which precedes the strength and the exploits, knowing God is to learn to know Him. Knowing God is not simply a one-time affair. It's a continual, progressive, evolving, learning relationship. It's not that God changes. The Bible promises us He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But learning who God is in our changing life and in this changing world in what we live in. God, today He might be my deliverer. Yesterday He was my freer. Tomorrow He's going to be my guide and my counsel. Learning who God wants to be in your life today. Learning what He wants to say, learning where He wants to take you, learning what He wants to do in and through you. See, this is the beauty of relationship with an omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God. He never runs out of things to talk about. He never gets sick of you. He never runs out of good ideas. He never wants to hang out with someone else and not you. He's never not available. This is the beauty of learning to know God. It's an ongoing relationship. See, we can seek Him for 50 years every single day and we still wouldn't even get close to coming to the end of who He is. We're going to be with Him for eternity and we still won't reach the end of the majesty and the beauty of God. Learning God is learning to know Him. Knowing God is learning to know Him. Second thing about knowing God is knowing His character. This one to me is so exciting. Learning God, knowing God is knowing His character, knowing that He is faithful, knowing that He is always true to His character, knowing that He is always true to His word. Knowing God's character is integral for every situation we find ourselves in.
See, if you know his character, you'll know that your circumstance doesn't look like he might be answering your prayer, but the truth of the matter is, if you know his character, you know he is answering your prayer. You know he can answer your prayer. You know he will answer your prayer. The answer's on the way, even if you can't see it, because you know his character. If you know his character, you know that even if you're in the midst of the craziest storm with the wind and the waves crashing against your life, it looks like God is asleep at the wheel of your turmoil. If you don't know his character, you'll think you're going to sink and drown. But if you know who he is, you'll know that he is God in the midst of the storm. And if you're with him, you've got everything you need. It's knowing his character. If you know his character like Samson, you might mess up in life. You might make some mistakes in life. You might lose your vision and find yourself bound up. But if you know his character, like Samson did, that even if you find yourself with no vision and bound up, you'll know God can still move through you. You might find yourself like Gideon did, feel like you're the least of the least, like you don't matter. Your family doesn't matter. Your race doesn't matter. Your vocation doesn't matter. That's how Gideon felt. But if you know the character of God, you'll know that God can take anyone from anywhere and do anything through their life. That the limitations of man don't apply to God. That God can do anything through your life. That's the character of God. Oh, come on, somebody. I feel like a few of you are getting it this morning. If you know the character of God, you'll know that even though, like those three Hebrew boys, were threatened with the fiery furnace, you'll know that whether you live or die, God can still work a miracle in that situation. God can still get glory out of that. That when your life is in God's hand, it's in God's hand, not anybody else. And the truth of the matter is, that fiery furnace that was meant for their harm, God turned it around and used it for his good. What was meant to kill them just set them free. That's the character of God. Oh, come on, somebody, if you know his character, would you give him a praise? Maybe you need to praise him for who he is in the middle of what you're going through. Maybe you feel like you're in the fire right now. Hey! Romans 8:28, that's the character of God. It says this, it says that we know that God causes all things, good and bad, by the way, all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You see, you won't actually know that in the heat of the moment, pun intended. You won't know that in the heat of the moment if you don't know his character. If you go through life allowing your circumstances to speak louder than his character does. If you go through life allowing your five senses to take in the sensations of the trouble and turmoil you might be going through, rather than the faith in your heart that God is who he says he is, and if God promised it, God can do it, no matter what it looks like. If you don't know his character, you won't know who he is in the midst of your situation. Can we go deeper? Knowing God is to experience God. See, he's not just to be intellectualized and understood, or someone just to be in the vicinity of. See, a relationship of God with God must be experiential. That's why when we come in here, praise God for our church. I don't want to knock any other churches, and this is certainly not the intention of this statement. But I've been to many churches, and I just spent some time traveling. I was on vacation late last year and was in different churches in and out. And it's always so powerful and refreshing to walk back in here, because I walk back in here and I cannot just spectate without being challenged. And we make no apology for that, because God is not simply a God to be observed. Now, don't get me wrong. I love standing here and observing him moving in other people's lives, but that's not the depth of my relationship. If that's the depth of my relationship, what I'm really observing is someone else's relationship with him. No, when we come in here, God is to be experienced, which is why someone's going to stand on this stage and say, come on, church, clap your hands. Why is that? Because the Bible says All ye people, clap your hands. All ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. See, there's power in experiencing Him, in diving in learning who He is, in knowing Him, in experiencing everything He has for me. Praise God, Pastor Brett, that you took us in this morning. Praise God, Steph, that you led us in this morning. You challenged us. You stirred us to go deeper. Why? Because God wants you to experience Him today. That's knowing Him. What else is knowing God? Knowing God is intimate. If you read an old school Bible, you learn in the Garden of Eden that Adam knew Eve. If you know what I mean. Biblically, he knew her. And this word know is also here about knowing God. Some of you all might get uncomfortable with that thought, but let it speak to the depth of relationship that God wants you to have with Him. That He wants all of you to experience all of Him. This is the kind of knowing that God has for us. What else? Knowing God is to consider Him, to consider God's will in every situation, to consider God's heart for every occasion, to consider what He would want, to consider what He would think, to consider what He would do. I was reading this week in the book of Matthew, and these verses, they just stick out to me sometimes. I love this. It's going to be on the screen. It says this: news about Jesus spread as far as Syria. Praise God that that would happen again today. That news about Him spread as far as Syria, and the people soon began bringing Him all who were sick, and whatever their sickness, whatever their disease, if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, He healed them all. He healed them all. You would think if sickness was God's will for your life, you would think if epilepsy was God's will for your life, you would think if demon possession was God's will for your life, that there would be an occasion in the Bible where Jesus healed some, but not all. That He allowed you to suffer a little bit longer so you could learn your lesson. Some people preach this thought. But there is not one occasion in all the Bible where someone came to Jesus and He could not or would not heal them. Every single time He healed them all. Not only could He would. It was His will, it was His heart, it was His desire. And so if that is what Jesus' will and desire and actions were, then when we consider Him, we are considering the possibilities of what He would do through us as well. Consider tomorrow how He would move through you. Consider tomorrow how He would speak through you. Consider today how He would love through you. That we would consider the possibilities of Jesus' power. Daniel 11:32 says, those who know their God, know Him, will be strong and carry out great exploits. They'll be strong and carry out great exploits. Coming into 2018, the key is not to be stronger, although that's the goal. The key is not to do greater things, although that's the goal. The key is to know Him, to know God. I want to know Him more. I want to know Him more today than I did yesterday. I want to know Him more this year than I did last year. This year is going to be incredible. I don't know everything that this year holds, but I know who holds this year. It's Him. Lord, I'm gonna get the keys to come back. You see, this time of year is a great time to consider what was and what has been. It is a time to celebrate what God has done in our lives already, but it's also a time to cut off anything you might be dragging in from 2017 and before. See, you might regret, you might have some regrets from last year. You might regret not meeting every one of the resolutions you made. You might regret the number that the bathroom scale yells back at you. You might regret not doing all of those things you promised yourself you would do. You might regret what you didn't accomplish. You also might regret situations or people. You might think about how you were or you weren't treated. You might think about how you were disappointed. You might think about the times where you thought what was going to happen didn't happen like you thought it would happen. You might think back to those situations. The thing is that when you were going through the middle of those things last year, maybe you didn't know God then like you know Him now. Sometimes when we go through things because we allow the circumstances to speak louder than God's voice, we don't realize what He's up to in the midst of it all. See, when we allow the circumstances of our past to dictate our future, when we allow the circumstances of our past to commentate on our life, you know what I'm talking about, the commentary that goes on in our head. You can't do that. Remember last time? You can't trust them. Remember last time? You won't be able to do those many great things. Remember what happened last year? You know the commentary that goes on. You see, maybe you need to turn around and go back just for a moment to look again and see what God was doing and what God can do through this. I listened to this podcast when I was traveling. Sometimes I listen to these podcasts, just get me thinking a little bit. And there's this cool podcast, it's called Revisionist History. And it goes back to events in history and it looks at the facts again. And basically the whole point of the podcast is saying, we all believe this thing about this event in history, but when you actually go back and look at the facts for what they are, maybe we need to change our mind on what we believe. There's this one podcast, it talks about, I think it's called McDonald's Broke My Heart. Mine too. Back in the day, they used to fry their fries, apologies to all the vegetarians in the room, they used to fry their fries in beef lard. And then there was this big campaign about 20 or 30 years ago that went through and talked about how bad cholesterol is for everyone, which it is bad. And so what happened is pressure was put on these companies like McDonald's to change the recipe so that it wouldn't be as bad for us. And so what they did is they changed it. They couldn't quite match how fluffy the fry was on the inside and crispy on the outside, but they got it as close as they could. And they changed it a few times until it is what it is today. Well, the funny thing is the oils that they're using today, they're not as bad for cholesterol, but they're much worse in other areas. And the real question we need to ask ourselves is, do we really go to McDonald's for healthy food anyway? I mean, we know what we're getting. Why do we have to change it? And so it talks about how McDonald's broke my heart, that if we had all the facts we had today that we had back then 30 years ago when they were made to change their recipe, we might say, well, cholesterol's bad. This is bad. Let's just go with the thing that's bad for us, but it tastes so good. At least we're making an informed decision. Goes back and it revises what we think about history. Maybe you need to turn around and look at the events of your past and revise what's actually happened. Because you look back at that event and you simply have regret in your heart. You look back at that event and you have remorse in your heart. You look back at that event, you have hurt that's still raw about the things you didn't accomplish or the way that you were treated. It's not that you weren't hurt. It's not that you didn't fall. It's not that they didn't say that about you. It's not that you didn't accomplish those things. Sure, all of those things are real. But it's what's holding us back from those events. That through the lens of knowing God today like I know Him, which is more today than it was yesterday. Maybe when I turn around and look at what He was in the midst of, I'll turn around and say, oh, God used that for good. If it wasn't for that painful situation, I wouldn't know what I know today. If it wasn't for going through the fire then, I wouldn't be as free as I am now. If it wasn't for going through that storm, I wouldn't be able to trust Him today like I didn't back then. If it wasn't for the way they treated me, He wouldn't have shown me all of these things. Knowing God, knowing His character, means I know that I have this opportunity to step into 2018. On the other side of last year, God used those things to make me who I am. God used those things to teach me a lesson. God can turn any situation around for good. And sometimes we feel trapped in our circumstances. Sometimes we feel trapped where we are, trapped because of our decisions, trapped because of things that people did or didn't do for us or to us. But the truth is, you're not trapped. You're positioned exactly where God wants you to use you for His glory and for your benefit. Come on, somebody. When I was thinking about this and praying about this, I thought, it's a lot like pregnancy. I've never been pregnant. I don't plan on ever being pregnant. Praise God, I certainly don't plan on ever giving birth myself. I thank God for that. Mothers, I salute you. You're better people than I am. But see, I understand at least this about giving birth is that there's a purpose to the pain. And when I speak to mothers, and I got a lot of friends who are mothers, when I speak to them, you know, 6 months down the track and talking about their beautiful little baby boy or baby girl, they're not talking about the pain. They're not talking about the horror of what they might have gone through. They're not talking about how much it hurt. They're talking about this gift that they've been given. Why? Because there's a purpose to the pain that they went through. See, maybe bound up in your painful experience from last year, there was a purpose. There was a gift that God was giving you. But rather than staying mad at that person, you should thank them. Rather than staying mad at yourself, you should forgive. Rather than staying mad at God, you should look again and get to know Him. Do I have a resolution for this year? Absolutely. I want to be stronger. That's my resolution. Do I have another resolution? Absolutely. I want to do greater exploits this year than I did last year. Do I have an undergirding, preceding resolution to all of those things? You bet I know that I do. I want to know God. I'm here to declare that this year is going to be greater than last year. I'm here to declare that the latter rain is going to be greater than the former rain. How can I be sure? I'm sure because I know Him. I'm sure because I know His character, who He is and who He says He is, that He wants to take us from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from faith to faith, that without a doubt, God has more for us this year than He did last year. Oh, come on, somebody, if you believe it, would you give Him a praise this morning? If you know God has more for you, would you give Him a praise? If you understand He has greater, would you shout a praise? If you know that no matter what it looks like, that He is who He says He is. He's faithful. He's true. Without a doubt, God has more for us this year than He did last year. Without a doubt, God has more for you this year than He did last year. Supernatural blessing, supernatural increase, supernatural power, supernatural favor poured out in your life. Come on, somebody. Does anybody believe it this morning? That God has greater for you this year than He did last year. Do you know Him? Do you know who He is today?
I pray the message today has blessed you. I pray that you would know Him more today than you did yesterday. I pray tomorrow you'd know Him more than you do right now. Even right now, come on, why don't you take some time aside from life? Why don't you spend some time with Him, getting to know Him? I pray that wherever you are, that God's presence would fill you, would surround you, would touch you in the middle of whatever you're going through. We're praying and believing that this year is going to be your greatest year yet. Hey, we'd love to stay connected with you as well. You can come to planetshakers.com or follow us on social media. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to stay connected. Have a great day.